And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. It's been a couple of years since we talked to Dale Harder, and in a few moments we will be going live to Barcelona, Spain, to talk to an individual who has been in contact with Pleiadians as well. But Dale is an ex-NASA employee engineer, owns a couple businesses, H&H Research and HHR Exotic Speakers. He's been in the UFO field for more than 45 years and has regular visitations by ET craft. I'll have him tell you about that. Dale is an officer for the Cleveland Ufology Project, the oldest UFO club and MUFON group in the world. He is an experiencer and has worked with most of the known names in ufology. Dale, it's always a pleasure. Welcome to the program.
Hello, George. How are you? It's good to talk to you again.
I'm great. It's sad that we lost Stanton Friedman.
Yes, it is.
He was a personal friend. He sure was. He was one of a kind. How did you get started in the field, Dale?
Oh, my gosh. I've been seeing UFOs, as you know, since I was a child. And as I got into late teens and early 20s, I was interested in joining groups and did so. And, been following it, working in it ever since.
I think we're losing you on the phone, Dale. You there?
Some kind of feedback was going on.
Yeah, there you are. There you are.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But anyway, there has been so much, George, that has happened since I've spoken to you last. And Goja is actually my partner in crime in that. And wanted to get back with you and fill you in on those details.
Okay, well, you are, of course, an experiencer, too. You're going through all kinds of things. Are you glad this has happened to you, Dale?
Oh, absolutely. As I revealed on the last show, I am an ET. And, that's, like I said, so going with that, that's where we're picking up.
Let's pick up. Now, when you say you are an ET, explain that.
Well, if you remember, most viewers may not, but if you do, from the last show, I told you that I came in, I was born into a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
I was sent here on a Vanguard group to help some 64 years ago. I was left on the doorstep and so forth, had no family ties or background. And all of this was pre-planned, of course, from the soul level and where I came from the Pleiades and from the individuals that played a part in it. So after I got here, and of course I remembered preparing for it, being on a ship, not wanting to come at the last moment, the whole nine yards. And so I finally, after an entire lifetime of being around UFOs, ETs, everything, and working for NASA and Honeywell Aerospace, it literally every day of my life, ships come to me all the time, things like that. But probably more importantly, some major things have happened, and I have literally met and am in contact with my Pleiadian, Tegetan Pleiadian family, who are now in orbit as we speak.
What does it look like, Dale?
This particular craft is in a relatively low Earth orbit, a little over 300 miles. It's 2,200 meters long, which makes it about 1.6 miles, 70 meters wide, and it kind of has a futuristic gun-like appearance, if you will, long and slender, looking like a fancy space gun. But it has four major power reactors on it, which are zero-point energy, crystal zero-point energy, and all different kinds of other technologies that are so far beyond human technology, it's unbelievable.
And I've got to ask you, too, why are they here?
Why are they here? A loaded question.
It sure is.
Or they're here because they've been trying to assess, actually, contact with humans, with humanity. They have tried so very hard to make themselves known. And, still everybody is looking in all the wrong places or expecting all the wrong things, just like old SETI, putting all the radio waves out into deep space when they're right here in front of us.
But they're not that obvious to us, are they?
Yes and no. For those that are willing to look, yes. For those that want so much proof in a nutshell, they're not going to get it. You also have to remember that we are constrained by the Prime Directive.
Where exactly is the Pleiadian star system?
I'm sorry?
Where is the Pleiadian star system?
It's called the Seven Sisters, the constellation, the Pleiades. And that's varying somewhere between 440 and 442 light years away.
How many civilizations are out there in terms of planets?
There are several. We are the Taygetan Pleiadian race. That means our sun is Taygeta. We're from the planet Era. There are many other Pleiadian races. They're not quite the same as us, but we are all related.
Who is the Swaru?
Swaru is our captain of the mission that is here right now, and she controls basically all the mission parameters for contact and so forth. And so she's definitely in contact with Goja and myself and Robert.
And most of the Pleiadians, I would guess, I've been told, you know, look human, or humans look like Pleiadians.
Exactly. They do indeed. And that's one of the things that people find so difficult to accept, George, is the fact that the Pleiadian race looks very much like us. Everybody always expects these really unbelievably looking horrific ETs, or the, you know, the usual sci-fi stuff.
Right. And there are some out there.
Yes, there are some out there, but not the Pleiadian.
You have a video called Why Are You Here? Tell me about that.
Why are you here? You mean on Goja's site?
Yeah.
Let me give you just a little quick story. It wasn't that long ago that I, after I had talked to you, made the video and so forth, the ships had still been coming, different things were going on. But I got to actually get involved with and become close friends with Goja. And she is actually responsible for putting me in the position of allowing my family to find me and to bring me home, as it were. But before all of that transpired, I reached out to her with an email, and something that she rarely does because of her being so busy with what she does. She never has the opportunity or rarely answers emails, but for some reason she needed to answer mine. She felt necessary. And it turned out that we were kind of related. We got along very quickly, developed a very close friendship. And through her efforts and being in contact with the crew and with Swaru, they actually at some point held a Taygetan Council meeting and decided to bring me into this and literally confirm for me who I am and what I am. So everything that I have known and felt my entire life was then given to me. And I got to tell you, that was probably the most unbelievable experience of my life.
What is the longevity of a Pleiadian, Dale, in terms of Earth years?
That can be anywhere from 900 to 1,200 years.
My gosh!
Yeah, and it's basically linear time, George, but, you know, it's, people don't really die. We don't die here. They don't die there. Most of the time, I tell people, I said, well, they just get tired and they want to move on to a higher level. Huh. They don't really die. They just kind of leave.
What is your mission now, Dale? Now that you're here, now that you were born here, what is your mission? What are you supposed to be doing?
You know, I always thought because of who I was, what I did, that I wanted to be another Tesla, George. I wanted to actually change the world by storm. And I worked at that very, very hard. But for some reason, that never seemed to focus, never seemed to gel. It was either financial or certain problems. It wasn't necessarily for a lack of capabilities or smarts, if you will. It was just the opportunities never came to do that. And so for a very long time, even though I've had what I would call a very successful life, I always felt that I had failed in my mission and didn't even fully understand what my mission was until Swaru actually helped me to understand that. And she explained to me that from their point of view, which is 5D, and that's fifth density, not dimension, but the fifth density, and ours is the third density, that I have had a high enough frequency my entire life, and of course it is evolving, that that I have been able to affect everything and everyone around me just by being. And they felt that that was a life very well spent and a very good mission. And so that's what I continue with on a daily basis.
Good for you. I want to get into your thoughts about the planet in a moment in terms of what's happening, not climate-wise, but in terms of human-wise, to get your take on it and how the Pleiadians and others out there might be thinking about we Earthlings, because this is a crazy planet these days. But how do you stay in touch with them, Dale?
I'm sorry?
How do you stay in touch with them?
We use several methods, but mostly we do it on a computer chat, a special program that we use.
Computers? Really?
Yes, and we're actually in touch with them as we speak.
It's like a chat room?
Our chat room, yes. Very special. It is exclusive.
Well, would I like to hack into that one?
Yes, Benny would.
And what are some of the things the byplay is like? What goes on?
What goes on?
Mm-hmm.
We discuss all manner of things, George. Council meetings and things are held, of course, on the ship. But Gosha runs a website where she publishes the videos that have to deal with a great deal of the information that Swaru, Annika, and Brother Dor are giving us. And at this moment, there are more than 85 videos available on that site with more information than a person could absorb in a lifetime.
And in terms of the messages, how often are they in touch with you?
We are daily.
That's interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
Do they warn you about impending things?
Yes, we do discuss different things that are going to affect each of us. Our personal safeties, the planet, et cetera, yes.
Are they concerned about your safety here on this planet?
Absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah, yes and no. Comes with the territory.
When you started as this, who are your parents?
Don't know. I have adopted parents that were wonderful to me and raised me.
Do they know what you are?
I'm sorry?
Do they know what you are?
They didn't quite understand at the age of 5 and 6 when I was running around telling them all these crazy things that I remembered from the Pleiades.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't quite understand it when I started building lasers at the age of 6 and repairing all the appliances in the neighborhood at that age. So, no, they didn't quite understand, but they were very good in that they humored me and they helped me and mentored me.
If there was an asteroid coming this way, would the Pleiadians get in the way?
No.
They would not stop it?
It's not their job.
Really?
No.
Why not?
They can help. They can guide. There are so many things that they can do. They definitely remain outside of certain Earth parameters. You have to remember that the Prime Directive controls almost everything that we do. And that is probably the main reason why they cannot be very overt and make themselves visible. They couldn't land in your front yard because of that for certain. But it wouldn't even do any good if they did, because believe me, you wouldn't believe it.
There have been a lot of UFO cases around nuke sites. Were they Pleiadians?
Not necessarily. You have to remember there are a great number of races that are visiting this planet right now. And we think Geten Pleiadians are just one of the small races, just one race that is here.
Including the reptilians.
There are reptilians here, but I'd like to state for the record that the reptilians are not as big a deal now as everybody seems to think that they were. They are certainly around, and, you know, they have had their skirmishes and so forth with our race as well as others, but they are not really the biggest problem for humanity right now.
Were they once?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, as you know, like I said, there's been the wars that were fought, there's been control and things that were fought, but now it is mostly a war of minds. It's mostly mind control, George, and we live in a 3D matrix.
Back on the planetary systems of the Pleiadians. Mm-hmm. What does it look like?
What does it look like?
Yeah, I mean, what do the cities look like? Are they skyscrapers? What are they?
Well, actually, you know, I don't remember a lot of it myself. I know what I have been told by my sisters, but the best person to describe that for you will be Gosha.
Okay, well, we'll be getting to her shortly. Yeah, tell me a little bit about her before we bring her on.
Ah, fantastic lady. She really is. You know, she's tireless, works around the clock to produce the videos and so forth. Basically, gratis, lost a relationship of a long period of time because of it, gave up a job and a business because of it. She's become extremely dedicated to our family and what she does, and she's very good at it.
She's from Australia, but she's in Barcelona, Spain now these days,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, she'll tell us what got her over there. And,
oh, yeah, she'll fill you in on some of those details for sure. Yeah.
Is there an ongoing battle or war in space between extraterrestrials?
There are some skirmishes and things that take place, but it's not the all-out battles that everybody envisions or gets the idea from the sci-fi stuff. It's not quite like that.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, you're not painting a panacea here.
No.
But it doesn't seem as evil as most people think.
That's correct. And you hit the head on the nail on the head when you said, as most people think. It is a question of mind control and what humanity has been led to think and to believe. We are our own worst enemies, George. We have created the situations that we're in. And it's up to us to break that and to wake up.
Were the Pleiadians responsible for abductions and cases like that?
No, no.
That's not the race that does
that. Our race does not abduct. We're way beyond that. We don't use chips like dog collars and so forth. That's ridiculousness. This race is far too advanced for that.
What race is doing that, Dale? Somebody is.
There have been races such as Greys and things that acted on orders for others. There have been other races that are without the confines of the Federation Council or without the Federation itself. There are a great number of federated worlds, but there are still those races that exist beyond that.
It's truly remarkable. It is. And you would say, I mean, what is their structure of society like? Do you know? Do they talk about that?
It is a holographic society. Everyone there basically lives to do what they enjoy, to contribute by what they enjoy. There is no economy. There is no Babylonian money magic system like we're all stuck under here. You know, everybody lives to enjoy, to experience, to spread education, things of that nature. It is a society that every person not only contributes, but you also have to remember in a 5D and higher, 5D plus society, that they also know each other's thoughts and share each other's feelings. There are no lying. There are no secrets. Okay? So you're not going to get away with the kind of things here. And there's no competition. No need to be. If you want to be on a council, you be on the council. If you want to build ships, you build ships. If you want to lay on the beach, you lay on the beach. There is no need to do as we do here, get up, eat, sleep, work. That doesn't happen.
That's pretty dramatic. Stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment and talk to Gosha, and I'll explain in a second who she is next. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. In a moment, Gosha joins us live from Barcelona, Spain, as we talk about her situation with the Pleiadians as well. Dale Harder still is with us, too. Next hour, we'll take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dale Harder with us. And, Dale, we're going to bring Gosha in with us. And let me introduce her with a degree in comparative religion from the University of Queensland in Australia. Gosha was also born in Poland, now lives in Barcelona, Spain, traveled the world looking for adventures, is now in contact with beings who, as we know, as Pleiadians. She will be conducting a workshop, by the way, in Ufology World Congress in Barcelona in September. Gosha, welcome to the program.
Hello, George. Hello. How are you? Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm looking forward to this, and we've got Dale on the line as well. Hi, Dale. Say hi to her.
Hello, Gosha. How are you, dear?
Hello. Hello. Nice to hear you. Nice to hear you.
And Dale, you feel free to jump in anytime here, okay?
I will.
As we carry on this discussion, and we'll take calls with you, too, next hour here. Gosha, tell us a little bit more about yourself other than the bio that I just read.
Other than the bio that you just read about myself, okay. I don't want to make it too long about myself because I want to focus more on the information that Tigers and Pleiadians are giving us. But yes, well, I was born in Poland. When I was 22, I left, as you well said, looking for adventures, looking for, well, any kind of spiritual revelations and discoveries, as I felt it was my spiritual quest in a way. I lived in different countries around the world, different continents. I was always very interested in metaphysical subjects. I studied comparative religion in Australia. So all this journey led me to Spain, Barcelona. Well, actually, a few years ago, 7-8 years ago, I opened a metaphysical shop with the same name as now my English channel, Cosmic Agency, which then I closed. And this slowly but steadily led me to the contact with our Tigers and Pleiadian crew, which, by the way, I have to set the record straight here. It's very important to note that the term Pleiadians is very generic, okay? Within the Pleiadians, there are so many different races. As I understand, there are 11 interstellar races, and within that, there are subdivisions of other races, not all of them interstellar. And I'm only, and Dale is only representing the Tigetan Pleiadians. They themselves don't like to be called Pleiadians. It's very misused and abused and distorted by the New Age. And they don't like that term. They like to be called Tigetans.
Which is what you are, Dale, are you not?
Yes, I definitely am Tigetan Pleiadian and was confirmed by my crew.
And Gosha, you're a human being, though, right? You're not an extraterrestrial, I assume.
I would call myself a starseed.
A starseed. But an earthling starseed. Right? Are you an earthling starseed?
I would call myself a starseed, yes, as millions of us on Earth, by the way. There are so many extraterrestrials incarnating on Earth. It's another rare phenomenon. There are thousands of us, and we are here, cavalry, and we are here to help and to assist from within. We are the troops on the ground, and so that's how I perceive myself as well.
When your initial contact started, what happened? How did this begin for you?
Okay. Well, it's quite a long story, but I will try to make it short. I was actually introduced to them by Robert. Robert is my friend here who I'm also working with, and he has been presented to them first here in Barcelona about 2 years ago at the Ufology World Congress through another lady. So Robert from the channel Despejando Enigmas, it's in Spanish, he's also my partner in crime, like Dale called me before. And this is how we started the contact. As Dale explained, it is using the technology of the internet, as it is the technology available to us, to the humanity at the moment. Because according to the Prime Directive, one of the Federation regulations which they go by, is that no developing civilization can be contacted through the technology that is not available to it yet. So before the arrival of the technology of the internet, they have used other methods. Telepathy was used, for example, very much. But now they don't like to resort to the telepathy anymore because it is prone to a lot of distortions, distortions. Sorry for my English, by the way.
No, you sound fine.
Yeah, thank you. So they don't like to use telepathy anymore because of that. It's prone to imaginations and to personal interpretations. So the next available technologies to them that is more reliable is the internet. They are right now in the orbit of the Earth in the fifth density. They are very close. They are much closer than any of us imagine. They are right here, right in front of our noses, and use the technology of internet to communicate with us, which, by the way, they are not the only ones who use this technology. There are so many other races who are also very closely watching and communicating with the humans through the social media, through the internet.
Gosha, what is their interest with planet Earth, in your opinion?
Well, it wouldn't be my opinion. It would be exactly what I know from them.
All right.
Yes, because it's very important for me. You see, that's why this is the beauty of communicating with them live through the internet. There's no distortions here. There's no my opinion here. I'm just presenting facts as they are, what we are told, and we are sharing exactly, almost word for word, what they share with us. So their interest is primarily, as Dale explained, to examine and assess our readiness for the official contact. Okay, that's one of their primary reasons. They are also assisting us with the so-called ascension, because that is truth. We are actually growing into, okay, how would I say that? There is a lot of energy coming from the center of the galaxy, positronic rays that are contributing to the raising of the overall Earth human frequency, which is propelling us toward the 5D. Fifth density. They are watching this process. They are monitoring and helping and assisting and guiding us through this process because it's imminent. Sooner or later, our Earth will be in a 5D. So they are assisting and learning, examining the situation. They are also assisting their star seeds because the star seed operation has been going on. Well, in a way, we all are star seeds, but the recent, more recent star seeds, as I would call them, it's been in the second half of the century. So they are assisting their star seeds. Every extraterrestrial race has their star seeds here on Earth. They are also actually monitoring and removing cabal operations. They have taken care of the majority of the reptilian problem. Mm-hmm. As I heard in the beginning, you were I don't know if you or the producer, you were announcing our show as the Pleiadians against the reptilian battle.
Right, and right, that was
it's
me.
It's actually been taken care of.
It's done?
Care of. It's Absolutely. Taken care of. It's not actually the biggest problem. The problem is us. We are the ones who are generating the matrix, the system. We are maintaining it. It's our own attitudes that we have to rewrite. And go ahead, George, ask me questions because I could
sure.
go on like this forever.
Do they believe in a divine creator, as we would call God?
Okay. The concept of God is strictly Earth concept. They don't have the Earth. They don't have the God idea as we have it here. They don't have any religious system. It's strictly Earth system. They have a concept called a source, which can be compared, or as Baruch likes to say it, unified field. So basically, we are all part of the source as holographic fragments of the soul. So we are all source. Every one of us, the real people, because by the way, there are also matrix non-real people. That's another story. We are all source. So we carry that within ourselves. We are the creators. So that's how they would. That would be the closest to what I would say God. But they don't say God.
They do not, but they do believe in some kind of creation.
Well,
something started this somehow, right?
The source is an energy field. It's the ether, and it has always been and always will be. It is without beginning, it is without end.
Exactly.
Unlike the universe, as we think is 13.7 billion years, it is not. It actually is infinite, and our 3D science has not yet caught up to that.
How many different...
Very good point.
Goshar, how many different civilizations are out there in the universe? I would guess millions.
Infinite.
You are right.
Infinite.
Hundreds thousands.
Life is the norm,
So many. It's infinite, and there are so many of them that are in contact with the humanity. There are others that are not so much in contact. They are more observing, and then there are others that they don't want to be known at all. So it's a whole zoo out there, as I would say, but in a good way.
In a good way.
Yes.
Interesting. Fascinating indeed. And in terms of, your situation, Goshar, I mean, you're in regular contact with them. Have you been up in their craft?
I have not been on their craft as far as I know. It's not a physical contact. It is using the technology of the internet, and we also had the privilege and the opportunity to have the audio communication with them twice.
Interesting. Now, if I use the phrase Pleiadians, I'm not going to offend them, am I?
Somewhat.
You're not offending them, but it's I would keep calling you, for example,
Earthling.
Or if you call me European. No, I'm Polish. No, so they take pride in their society. They take pride in who they are, and also because there are so many races out there, and each of them has its unique, specific personality and characteristics. Represent something different, and Taygetans are very important here in the orbit. They are actually the leaders, next to maybe a few other races like Andromedans. Taygetans are the leaders in this whole process of liberation of the Earth, because there is, like Dale said, battle for us, but it's mostly mental consciousness, mind battle for the humans.
Goshar, have they solved the problems of disease and death and, free energy and things like that? Because if they have, why don't they share it with us?
Oh, boy. That's a loaded question.
In their society, they absolutely have.
So why don't they help us with that?
Dale, you want to take this or should I?
I could throw in a few points. If I miss anything, you can pick in.
All right.
Part of it is, again, the prime directive. They have learned, and we have learned that over eons of time, that jumping in there and giving other planets technology exactly as you saw in Star Trek, that it generally leads to great issues, and it will either cause divisions or wars eventually. And so it is very carefully thought out, very carefully looked into, even with first contacts. Technology is not always the answer. The answer lies within the human itself, and that means that we must have the wisdom, the ability to apply those technologies correctly, with understanding. Giving technology to a baby or a gun to a baby is a very dangerous thing. And we are a very, very young or infantile race on the scale of the 0 to 10 scale, for example. We're not even the 0. We're at 0. And we're talking about a race as the Taygetans are one of the most advanced races anywhere in the universe.
How old are they? If we're 4.5 billion years old on planet Earth, Dale, how old might they be on their planet?
They have been around for billions of years, George, and they have migrated from several places. And many people have assumed, of course, Lyra, and that is correct. That is one of them. But they have migrated from many places, and they have also been where we are. So that's something that we must keep in mind.
Goshar, you've got a workshop coming up in September. What will you be doing there?
Yes, me and Robert, actually, we're both invited by the Barcelona Ufology World Congress just to give a speech. It's not going to be really a workshop. It's going to be a presentation where we will basically explain to the people that follow us, because from what I understand, it will be mostly people who follow our channels. We'll be able to share our experience. We will not share so much the information, because the information between me and Robert, we have over 200 videos loaded with profound, very interesting, very deep information on all kinds of fields. And so we will be sharing more our personal experience with them, our personal contacts.
And you've got a lot of those linked up on YouTube, correct?
And did I what? Excuse me?
You have them on the YouTube channel?
Yes, of course. It's all free, available to people on our channels, yes, in Spanish and in English, because I'm doing both. On English, I'm a bit behind because I started the Spanish one, but now I'm trying to catch up and do everything in my English channel. And believe you me, the information is as astounding, and it covers so many subjects, from science, from genetics, free energy, navigation. They explain you how to navigate their ship in details. Right now, actually, because we have communication almost every day, Deashi Varu, the leader of the Tigerton fleet, she's explaining to us in detail how their ship functions, motors.
All right, hold on for a second, Gosha. We're at the top of the hour, which means in this country, we're going to take a break, but we're going to come back with phone calls and more questions for both you and Dale in a moment.